Coming up in about 5 minutes, we'll give you the key storyline from every game in the NFL this weekend. We're getting ready for Week 12 on Grant and Danny. It is a Football Friday, and it is a Field Trip Friday. We are live from the Casual Pint, Falls Church, Arlington Boulevard. We are live until 6:30. If you are out and about near Seven Corners, you're out on the road, you're nearby, swing on in. Say what's up. We're here for another 30-plus.
This is a great swing-on-by place.
It is.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not far from a number of major thoroughfares. It's the parking lot's right here. You can see it from the main road.
By the way,
it's a great swing-by place.
Huge parking garage, too. So,
yes.
Like, parking's not going to be an issue either. Feel good about that.
Yep.
But, yeah, we're near a lot of things. I'm going to say this. I hope no one gets bothered by this. Falls Church is a huge hole in my game. Like, I just don't know about it. So I'm from King George near Fredericksburg.
Yes.
I moved to go to George Mason University and live basically in Alexandria and Fairfax for the better part of the rest of my last 18 years, half my life now. But I was mostly in Kingstown or down along like Duke Street. Now I'm out in the Lorton area. For whatever reason, all my high school football coverage I've done for years, which was a lot of Loudoun County and Fairfax, I just missed Falls Church.
Yeah.
So, like, justice, I couldn't get there if you gave me an hour and a compass. Our boy Ryan went to Falls Church High School. I know that that's somewhere near here, and they're the
Jaguars. It's really close. It's like on Jaguar Trail.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you could probably – someone said, justice is right there. I believe you. I just can't do it.
You're like, that's true.
But, like, I knew where we were coming generally, but I needed my GPS.
Uh-huh.
I passed it. I had a little time before I came in to kill, and I passed it, and I'm like, oh, no. And I got to Seven Corners, and I was like,
nope.
I feel like I was like one turn away from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It was like, I'm like, oh, this is Seven Corners. If you would have told me today at my house, you can't use your GPS, there's $1 million on the line, before noon today, you have 3 hours, you have to get to Seven Corners, I couldn't have done that. I just couldn't have. I have no sense of direction.
That
and
is true,
this
you don't.
Is a hole in my game.
Yeah. I mean, for me, even despite the fact that I'm from Northern Virginia, lived in and out of D.C. for most of my life with a couple of stints here and there, but my hole is Alexandria. I know it exists. I know that I'm always somehow on Route 1. Like, at the end of it, I don't want to be, but now I'm in that series of traffic lights going really slowly where I can only go 7 miles an hour for 15 feet.
Are you talking Old Town Alexandria or where?
No matter where I want to go in Alexandria, I end up on Route 1 in that series of traffic lights going really, really slowly.
That's Old Town-ish. Adjacent.
I know Old Town,
yes.
Right? Where it's the name, it's like King, Prince, Queen, Jackal, and Jester, and the Clown Prince. I know Old Town. I've been to Old Town. Whenever I want to do something in Alexandria, I always end up on that stretch on Route 1. I keep saying it, going 15 miles an hour, going light to light to light to light to light.
Right.
I don't like it.
Well, this is fun, though. This has been a great venue and an awesome stop for our field trip. Back in Virginia, this has been a great turnout, and we appreciate everybody making the show part of their day. It's been really, really cool. Let's hit the phones before we get to our storylines in the NFL. 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. Last chance for you guys to weigh in on the game. Let's go to Donnie, who's waiting in Mitchellville on G&D. What's up, Donnie? How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. I feel like a coach, man, because I want to see complimentary football. Like, I feel like I'm missing the special teams. And y'all told me to specifically give you one. I think it's Frankie Louvu. Like, I ain't shooting him down, but I feel like he, at the beginning of the year on the run, he was in the backfield making a play. Now, he get in the backfield, and he like an inch or second or yard too late or to the left or to the right. So, Frankie, man, just go off. Go off like you did.
Now, he does have 3 sacks in the last 2 games, in fairness, and he had 2 sacks against the Eagles. He made his presence felt. But you're saying against the run, you want to see him used a little more, be a little more active. The tackle totals, to your point, while he had 10 against the Eagles, had come down a little bit in recent weeks. I think they're using him a little more as a pass rusher. He's so good at it.
Yes, he is.
He is one of the better, more talented rushers in terms of moves and timing. One of the things I love watching him do, if you watch back after the fact on, like, all 22, his timing on the delayed blitzes and when he waits to come downhill, sometimes he'll wait, it feels like, until the guard decides, okay, I got nobody coming, and turns to help out
and then he goes.
The tackle, and now he's just cleared a lane. He is so cerebral and intuitive, and yet he plays so violently. I get steamed up for Frankie Louvu.
So this is going to be like in the utmost of layman's terms here, so bear with me. But it feels like in games where they don't really, I don't say respect the opponent because that's not the right term, but aren't afraid of the opponent's offense, that's the game where you notice him the most. So it sounds like I'm knocking him, but I'm not. It's the we're not scared of getting beat over the top or getting having him vacate an area. Him getting after people is what we want to see. So think of that Arizona game, the Carolina game. Thinking maybe there's another one. Cleveland in there where he was an absolute menace all over the field. That's when you see him the most when they're comfortable, I think.
Let's go to Edwin in Rockville on Grant and Danny. Rockville's been home to one of our trips on this field trip series.
True.
What's up, Edwin? How are you, buddy?
I'm well, thank you. Actually, I'm from Silver Spring, but I was saying that I was in Rockville when you guys were there.
Thank you for coming out. We appreciate that.
Yeah, I was wearing the faded Redskins hat with the Redskins t-shirt, man. And, you know, Danny, I appreciate you for saying that, just for speaking against the Commander's name every single time it comes up. You're like Tony Kornheiser. Every time it comes up on PTI, he always says, and that's a terrible nickname every single time. And I appreciate it for that. You know,
you got it, dude.
Yeah, but anyway, so for me, this weekend, what I want to see is, mainly from the offense, I want to see signs that they can score, they can move the ball, they can score a lot, and I want to see signs that Jaden is Neo, you know, I want to see signs that he's the one, you know, because I feel like things have flagged a bit the last few weeks. Honestly, I feel like we kind of overrated him, we got swept up in the hype, if truth is being told, if we're looking at the numbers, data, everything, the whole body of work. So I want to see a resurgence, basically. I want to see, you know, signs that we can at least win one playoff game. You know, that's the main thing for me.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. I wonder, I would bet you he's in the minority when he suggests that he's starting to have these second thoughts about whether or not Daniels is what we all thought he was after a month or 2 months. I'll bet you there's not a lot of people thinking that way, and I'm not telling you how to think. You're a football fan. You got your own eyes. You're watching the games, what have you. But I think, by and large, that the prevailing thought is probably rookies are not going to have a linear progression. You're not going to get better every single week. You're not going to be better in October than in September, in November than October. It's not a staircase. I think there's an acknowledgement of his lack of health, which is significant. Now, I would point out that one of the main knocks as a prospect against Daniels was health and durability because he has a small frame and he's going to get crunched. And that is a reality that, you know, at some point is going to become a storyline that into the future, potentially, we all have to discuss. But I can't imagine after just two games against great defenses on a season that's gone as well as it has, with him being the de facto rookie of the year, sizably right now leading Bo Nix in any kind of a hunt for the award. I can't imagine someone going, yeah, I'm not sure if this guy's good. I don't know if he's the guy. I think we overrated it. That's not how I'm thinking, and I think most fans would be in my camp. I wonder how many people are thinking like him where they go, did we put too much on him too quick? Did we just throw a party because we wanted to see something and maybe act like it was bigger and better than it was? I mean, I would tell him, go back and watch that Cincinnati game again.
Yeah.
That game doesn't happen very often. That game has not happened from a rookie in my time watching this game, maybe but once or twice.
So I've seen that pulse. Now, it's not the real-life pulse, because as we always know, like the social media echo chamber little box isn't necessarily representative of humankind or America or a fan base or otherwise, but I have seen that. The waiting for the bad game, relatively, right? His worst game or performance isn't up to what he's done previously. And, I told you guys all along. I don't know whether you did or didn't, sir. I'm not tracking every one of your opinions respectfully. But I told you guys they should have traded back. Or I told you guys that he wasn't the dude, that he was overrated, buoyed by something at LSU. Aha! You know, so there's a small portion of folks, but I think for the most part everybody's kind of going, he showed so much greatness already. I want to get back to that. Very, very different than he's not that good.
That's a good point. If these first two games, if the two games he played most recently were his first two games and we're going into week three, we're having a very different discussion about Jaden Daniels, right? He does not look like he's ready for the lights, or he does not look like a terrific NFL quarterback. He's a project, whatever. think about all the deposits. Like, you're allowed to take out a couple withdrawals when you've put so much money in the bank already. Mm-hmm. You got to allow for a couple withdrawals from the kid with all the deposits he made first. Sergio's in D.C. What's up, Sergio? How are you?
Doing well. How are you, fellas?
Good, buddy.
Thank you.
So on the surface level, I'd love to see, obviously, the offense get going again. I'm not too worried about the Kingsbury drop-off thing like everyone else seems to be. Honestly, I want to see JD use his legs again. I do actually believe that he's healthy. I think the injury has been indirectly affecting him with the limited practice, the timing. You could tell he wasn't stepping into his throws and stuff in Philly. I was actually up at that game. It was pretty sick. And then on a, I also want to see him get Luke involved. I want his separation percentage grade is so high.
It's outrageous. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to see him get involved because we know we're going to need more playmakers down the stretch. And then on a deeper level, I mean, we all remember the Cowboys eating turkey legs during the game. We remember like Zeke saying they didn't want to get him out after a touchdown with like 10 minutes to go because they knew they'd have another opportunity with like six. The disrespect that's been poured on us by the Cowboys over the years, like I want to see us roll these boys, and I want to see
totally
them pan to Jerry sitting in his suite, arms crossed, bitter as hell. Like we gotta put it on him. I'm going 31-13, good guys.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Hope that's exactly what happens, by the way.
Thank you for the call. Hey, let's do that. Just sign me up for everything he just said. He made a really good point, though. We talked about this earlier in the week. We have not discussed it today. Daniels' mechanics have not been the same.
Mm-hmm.
That is one area that is alarming. And you wonder, is it a rib thing? Is it bad habits after the injury? Is it just him in a rut? But he's been falling away on passes. Footwork hasn't been the same. And the accuracy has evaded him a little bit. That is something you control. You cannot control the results. I don't need a result from a quarterback. I need a process. The process has to be clean. The footwork, the drops, the plant, the fire, the accuracy, all the stuff he was controlling well earlier in the season. Zeke's in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Zeke?
Hey, guys. Love the show. How you doing?
Good, pal.
All right. Hey, I would love to see the whole offense improve, but I really got a bad feeling about this game. Everybody's picking Dallas, but, you know, they're probably not as bad as what we think they are, and we're not as good as what we think we are. Because remember in the past, we were the bad team, and we went into Dallas, and we beat them. So my thing is that the whole offense, if it's not clicking, then we could come out of there with a loss. And the second thing, I got a bone to pick with you guys, just real quick. Have you done the Friday in Washington, D.C. yet? Let me know.
We have not.
We have not.
We work in Washington, D.C. every day, but that is very different. I agree. We have not done a Friday in D.C. How about this? We will effort to add the nation's capital, the most powerful city in the world, the District of Columbia, to our upcoming hit list of places to be at on the field trip. Does that work for you?
I think that's fair. Yeah. Right? Isn't that fair?
I think one of the issues we've had in the past sometimes in D.C. is parking can be really, really difficult. I don't know that we've ever had a meeting about this. It's just top of my head.
Sure.
So if you're asking a bunch of people to come out and hang out at a bar, if parking's hard, it's just a little harder to get people to come. But I will put that on the to-do list. I will talk to the grown-ups that are way, way, way more influential and powerful than I am.
Because I want to be very clear to our caller. Adults tell us where to go.
Yes.
And they tell us what to wear and when to be there.
They don't tell you what to wear.
I'm just trying
to prove a point. Did they tell you to wear this giveaway Surfside t-shirt today?
Yes. One of the sales guys was like, listen, it would help me out a lot if people saw you on YouTube with Surfside.
They're like that weird blue-colored Surfside t-shirt.
Yeah, he goes, wear that.
By the way, Surfside is delicious.
Yeah. Well, I noticed we're in Philadelphia, this bar in like North Philadelphia, Manayunk, whatever.
North Philadelphia,
North Philly,
born and raised.
On the playgrounds where I spent most of my days. The point is that as we're there, minding our business, there was a big to-do just outside.
Yeah.
They were opening up like the cellar, like because it's, you know, it's an urban spot, and they were loading up crate after crate after crate of Surfside.
Yep.
Like, it's not just one place. This stuff is everywhere.
It's a thing, man. All right, let's go quickly through the NFL games and then give our player to lock in on and our final predictions. We will go rapid fire here. It's week 12. Chiefs, Panthers, not a lot to see. Kansas City's 9-1. Carolina's 3-7. This could be a signature moment for Dave Canales if the Panthers could pull off a shocking upset. My guess is Mahomes and Kansas City rolls, bounce back from their first loss of the year.
Yeah, they are inevitable. This really, to me, is a Bryce Young story. Not about winning the game or anything, but just about playing well and continuing maybe his career, question mark?
Vikings-Bears in Chicago. Game two for Thomas Brown as a play caller. Mm-hmm. Caleb Williams looked better after the Shane Waldron firing. Bears defense has not been on the same level as it was supposed to have been, top 10 a year ago. They get a tough customer coming to town in the 8-2 Vikings. Minnesota, chance to be 9-2. Sam Darnold's not even playing that well. They keep on winning.
Yeah, so they've been a little shaky in the middle of the ring, right? Standing eight count a couple times, won one of these games, lost one here recently, haven't been playing as well as they were early season. That happens. You go through ups and downs. Good chance for them to kind of cement their spot there right behind Detroit in the NFC hierarchy. And Chicago looking to reclaim something with Caleb Williams and company.
Kevin O'Connell's a great head coach.
Yes, he is.
In Houston, the Texans are 7-4. They blew out the Cowboys on Monday night. Short week turnaround. They get the Titans, who come to Washington next week. Feels like a pretty easy victory for Houston, but like Washington, mm-hmm. you're hosting a team in your division that you're expected to beat handily. Sometimes those games get sideways.
Yeah, they're kind of now a power running team behind Joe Mixon in this sort of renaissance.
By the way, what happened to C.J. Stroud? That's my dude. I think he's a top 10 QB in the league. Last year, C.J. Stroud had one of the great rookie years ever. He has had a sophomore regression, notably.
Like, it hasn't been bad, but it hasn't been, like, the step forward
right.
that you thought. And then the reason a lot of people thought, especially you had Stephon Diggs. Now, I know they've had injuries at receiver. They welcome Nico Collins back. It's a better offense. But they've kind of morphed into a pound-you-type team a little bit, playing some good defense.
He's on pace to have a worse year in his second year than in his first year.
Mm-hmm.
That's just strange to me.
Just
odd. He's basically completing the same number of passes. His interception percentage is up. His touchdown percentage is down. Just strange. I mean, the offense isn't as good. I'm not saying it's all him, but I did not see that coming. All right, going around the league, week 12, Lions 9-1, Colts 5-6. Detroit should stomp Indianapolis in that game. Anthony Richardson did look a lot better after getting back into the lineup last week.
Similar story to Bryce Young trying to reclaim it as a guy that was a project, needed some work, and he, you know, big step forward this past week. This is a tough ask, though, for the Colts, who are fighting for their playoff lives, outside looking in. Detroit trying to keep that number one seed hope alive.
The Dolphins have won two in a row over the Rams and the Raiders. Not quite back in the playoff picture just yet, but with another win, they will be in the hunt. They're playing the Patriots. They're hosting New England. Don't look now, but Drake May has been fantastic on a terrible team with a bad offensive line. He's turning some heads in the AFC East.
May has been good, but they are just weaponless and kind of devoid of the ability to compete at a high level. Miami, I think I saw this. I apologize if I quote the stat wrong. But since Tua has returned, they've scored on the highest percentage of drives of anybody in the NFL. That offense is slowly but surely getting back to being that Dolphins offense we know.
Bucks 4-6, Giants 2-8. Daniel Jones was benched. Then Daniel Jones was moved to fourth on the depth chart. Today, Daniel Jones was released. He is no longer on the Giants. He's been their starter all 10 games this season. Tommy DeVito gets the nod for the New Yorkers.
Baker Mayfield has been outstanding despite swirling circumstances in Tampa, losing receivers. Mike Evans looks like he's coming back this week on the injury report still with that hamstring, but having him return would help the Bucs a lot in a division that's still winnable.
Let's go to the 49ers and Packers. San Francisco has ruled out starting quarterback Brock Purdy. They have ruled out defensive end Nick Bosa. They are saying that Trent Williams is a game-time decision questionable. They are in trouble. They're 5-5. Not a whole lot of margin for error left. The only good news for them is they're only one back in the division, 6-4 Arizona. They still play them again, but they play at Lambeau, 7-3 Green Bay as hosts. The Packers are favored by 5.5. Hard to imagine that the 49ers win without Brock Purdy. I think Brandon Allen will be the quarterback.
I don't think anybody's going to pull away in that division. Cardinals have a divisional matchup. If they drop that one, Seattle is right there with them at potentially 6-5. The Cardinals could be 7-4. They'd have a nice lead there. Rams have a tough game, which we'll get to here in a second. I don't think anybody's going to run away with that division. I just don't think that's the kind of year. So San Francisco still got a shot, but you're running out of chances to take that shot. For Green Bay, this is a great division they happen to be in. They need to win to keep pace.
Speaking of the 6-4 first-place Cardinals, they play 5-5. Seattle in the Pacific Northwest. Seahawks are host, tough place to go. Would be a great opportunity for the Seahawks to pull away two games over Seattle, maybe two games over San Francisco if they could get a win. The Eagles play the Rams. Massive game.
Big one.
With implications for your Washington Commanders. The Rams in this game are within a couple of points at sportsbooks within the Eagles, 8-2 Philly, 5-5 Rams. Seems like even with extra rest, though, the expectation is the Rams are going to give them a fight.
The Rams are 5-5, and they're doing kind of what they did last year, where they started off 1-4 this season. Now they've won four of their last five to get themselves to 5-5. They did something similar last year. As they get healthier, McVay coaches them up. If Stafford is healthy and has a couple guys or a guy or two to throw to, they're much more formidable. They're sneaky. Look out for them as a team outside looking in.
Monday Night Football. Bum, 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 bum. The Ravens, the Chargers. It's all Harbaugh all the time.
The eye contact ball.
Who's got it better than us? Nobody. Except they're saying the same thing on the other sideline. So how does that work? The Ravens 7-4. The Chargers 7-3. They both look like they're playoff bound. I know I'm cheesy, but sign me up for two brothers coaching against each other. And by the way, two guys that are playing really, really well at quarterback. Lamar had a really bad game last week against Pittsburgh, but he went into that game the MVP favorite, supplanted by Josh Allen, who's idle this weekend. No game for the Bills, so a great chance for Lamar to get back to being in the MVP mix. As far as the Chargers go, Justin Herbert has been playing stellar ball.
Yeah, a little bit less on his plate, but you still see it, right? There was a throw from the other night that everybody's replayed a million times. Four verts, and he threw it into a space about a big enough for a key to fit in, 30 yards down the field on the line. The guy's incredibly talented. This Chargers defense is legit. Now they haven't put an offense like Baltimore's, so we're going to find out a lot about both teams, I think.
Those are all of the games in Week 12 in the NFL. We'll be keeping our eyes on here on Grant and Danny. Let's get back to the Commanders and the Cowboys as we put a bow on our show today from Falls Church and give you our player to lock in on. We do this every single week. Our player to lock in on is presented by Baldino's Lock and Key, your one-stop shop for auto keys and fobs. Visit Baldino's.com.
Boring one, but Terry McLaurin. You can't have a game where you're not targeted until deep into the second half, maybe into the fourth quarter. If he's going, it means the offense is going. So I think Terry McLaurin, to your point, probably on the first within the first couple of plays, gets a look just to put the ball in his hands. I expect him to have a decent game against a vulnerable defense.
Dante Fowler was very quiet against the Philadelphia Eagles, statless in that performance. He had four sacks in two games before that, went in on a heater, was on pace for the most sacks anybody in organizational history, not named Manly or Man, has ever had. Let's get him going again. In his age 30, huge season he's putting together, looking for a contract at year's end. Remember, he played in Dallas last year with the Cowboys. Didn't get a contract offer from them. Followed Dan Quinn to the nation's capital, and now playing for the Commanders, gets to play against those Cowboys. I'd love to see him get a sack and do his celebration where he wipes the front of his shoes off. You know that move?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what he's doing, but it's entertaining.
Does anyone know what he's doing? I think it's a great sack celebration. He just bends down and kind of polishes his shoe. It's like maybe I kicked you in the butt and now I'm wiping off.
I gotta
my
clean.
Shoe.
It's like after you use your sword, you gotta wipe the butt off it, kind of. But it's with a shoe.
I love it.
Yeah.
Unless it's from something I haven't seen, it seems like he made it up.
Yeah, unless it's inappropriate and I'm endorsing something that's bad.
Oh,
and
I don't. We don't endorse things that are bad.
No, we don't. I hate the bad thing, just like you guys do. I just don't know what it is.
I would agree.
But I also recognize the fact that I'm old. I don't know who anyone is or what they're saying.
In fairness, you're not just saying that. Like, you've never heard of anybody.
Yeah. That's what happens. I used to make fun of my dad for this, and now it's happened to me. Like, SNL, for example, this past weekend, they were doing this bit where they had celebrity impersonations, it's a running bit where they do auditions for some movie, right? And all the cast gets to do their impressions. There were five characters out of the 10 where I have never heard of this person. I don't mean like, oh, I don't know who that is. Like, I have never heard the sequence of names that they used for the impression. And I was like, it's not funny to me because I don't know who that person is. It's happened to me.
I can't think of her name, so this isn't even going to make sense because I'm now a Danny Ruiz.
Well, now you're doing the thing like the mom's, like the woman who was in the movie with the hair.
I'm like, who's the lady?
She has a face. Do you know the face?
There's a redheaded girl singer who's like super famous right now.
Chappell Roan.
Dave Chappell.
Dave Chappell Roan.
Chappell Roan. Like, this person is everywhere. Everywhere
I
look,
I don't know who
now,
that is.
I'd never heard of this person until 14 hours ago. I've seen her 900 times in the last hour. And I'm like, what happened? How do I know who nobody is?
What I don't like is when everybody just assumes that everyone's supposed to know who this person is.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, don't make it all casual.
Yes.
Like, if we're doing someone that's actually famous, yeah, okay.
Metal Chris knew who Chapel Roan was.
Right.
My daughters love her song, Hot to Go. It's like a new YMCA dance where you do, like, the letters over your head and stuff.
So like, is she a kid performer?
No, but it's popular with people because it's like the YMCA song. Like, it's right. Like, I got a dance that goes with it, like, okay. A thing. And my kids love it because it's letters, and I'm glad they're learning the alphabet.
Letters.
And, like, yeah, like, whatever, but it's, yeah.
I'll take it. I'm you now. I'm not quite on your level, whatever
right.
Your level is, but I now don't know a lot of people.
Yeah, like, I'm like a level 74 Dungeon Master on this one. You know what I mean? Like, I'm high level. All my characters are maxed.
All right, let's say goodbye with our final predictions for the Commanders and the Cowboys. 1 o'clock kick, Landover, Maryland, Northwest Stadium. Hopefully many of you guys will be there. I know I met a couple people at the bar.
They're
going.
In
section 237, right?
Dress warm.
All right. They're not. This is not new. They've been going since 1966.
Wow.
They know how to dress. Well, they probably haven't, in fairness.
I was say, they look very young.
Yes.
You put a lot of evil on them just now.
She is 20 years old, I believe.
And yeah.
He's,
you know, 21. She has alcohol.
Oh, that's
a
good point.
Would you stop?
22 years
good
old.
Good heavens.
All right. I'm saying too many words.
Yeah, UGLY.
Just go ahead.
Over-under in this game is 44.5. Everybody's assuming a whole bunch of points get scored, maybe even just by Washington. I think it's uglier than we want. I think it's gross, but I think Washington wins like a 23-17 kind of game. We're not going to feel great afterwards, but we'll feel good because they won it.
I'll need a shower if that's the case.
Hot.
That would be a massive disappointment. Here's where I'm at on this game. The Cowboys have done evil, terrible things to Washington in this rivalry over the last several years. In fact, the Cowboys have won 5 of the last 6 games against Washington. And you guys will remember some of these. January 7th, 2024, at home, 38-10, Cowboys over Washington. How about November of last year when we watched Dallas beat Washington 45-10? How about, do you remember that day after Christmas game in 2021 when the Cowboys beat the then football team 56-14.
Sure do.
Humiliating primetime embarrassment. Let's turn the tables. Let's not just beat them. Let's kick them while they're down. Let's embarrass them. Let's humiliate them. Let's have the kind of game that when it's over, they're calling into the radio saying, Mike McCarthy shouldn't show up to work tomorrow. Lock the doors on
Let's
him.
Let's get the guy fired.
I've got Washington winning this game 41 to 23, an 18-point win for the Commanders. Jaden Daniels gets right. Nobody's bugging on Cliff Kingsbury next week. And the bad Cowboys.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Get what's coming to them.
Silent plane ride home.
It's what they deserve.
I hope so. Yeah, I still haven't forgot. One caller brought it up. We talked about it a little bit. I hadn't forgotten about that turkey leg thing, man. I have some memories there.
How many times is Ezekiel Elliott going to jump into the Salvation Army bucket?
I got a bucket for him to jump into.
Yeah, enough of that, right? This is the reversal of that. Let's go 41-16 this thing.
Smack
like they
around,
did when
please.
They beat the Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
Please.
With the Montez Sweat touchdown. Big thanks to all of you out here at the Casual
Thank you guys.
Pint
Thank
in
y'all.
Falls Church. All of you came out throughout the day to say hello. That was awesome. Thank you to the crew out here. That was wonderful all day long. We will certainly be back. Casual Pint, Falls Church, Arlington Boulevard, if you're in the area, great place to come have
a
beverage and delicious food. Thanks for listening to Grant and Danny. Keep it live and local on The Fan into the evening with Linnell coming your way next.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.